The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
All right. It is a Wednesday, a rainy Wednesday here in Florida. And I know that there's supposed to be a liftoff, like any second now. The SpaceX rocket, manned rocket, is supposed to be delivering two astronauts to the International Space Station, blasting off now. It's supposed to be now a little bit after 4:30 in New York, I guess. So we'll see. I heard, you know, it's stormy down here, but I heard that there are tornado warnings up around the Cape Canaveral area. So that may have delayed the launch. I'm not sure, but I guess we'll find out soon enough. I'm still sort of taken by the idea of a space launch. The fact that we, the United States as a whole, is getting away from further space exploration to return to the moon, I don't quite understand, but whatever. Oh, I guess it's the Space Force. Ugh. So much going on today. and let me tell you what's on tap for today's show. And things may get a little uncomfortable later, because things are. When we talk about no launch. Someone just said, never mind. I'm reading the YouTube chat room. Somebody, if you find out anything, let me know. I'll rely on you guys for an update on what's happening with the launch. All right. But my guest today at the bottom of the hour is David Silverman. David Silverman has been on the show a few times over the years. I first met him at a Netroots Nation gathering. I don't know which one, but I haven't been to one in like 10 years, so it was a while ago. And David Silverman was, for 18 years or so, the president of American Atheists. And he was a bit, you know, he's an outspoken guy and had a bit of a reputation of being a hard ass, you know, somebody who will spar with you. And that's fine, because I'm sort of like that. And we've had some great conversations. I don't always agree with him, though I am an atheist. And I generally really respect the guy. And then a few years ago, he disappeared off the face of the earth. I wasn't aware at the time that there were a few Me Too allegations made against him. But American Atheists fired him just right off the bat. But a year or so later, he came back in another atheist organization, hired him as their, I guess, executive director or president or something. And then another woman came forward with another Me Too allegation. And this one was really weird. You might recall in all the allegations against Al Franken. And by the way, let me state right here, I'm not passing judgment one way or another. I've only heard David Silverman's side of the story, except for audio of a court proceeding by the third woman, and when her charges were dismissed because, frankly, they were ridiculous. And this is where I'm going with this one. With Al Franken, there's a woman named what is her name? Oh, God, I can picture her. She's a writer. Her name will come to me when I'm not trying to think of it. Wears very red lipstick, blonde woman, has been a writer for a number of progressive websites and such. Tina something. Again, it'll come to me when I'm not thinking about it. Anyway, after all these people made these ridiculous claims against Al Franken that I thought were bullshit from the start, because the picture with him with his hands over the girl's breasts, he wasn't touching her. It was a ridiculous pose for the camera. He wasn't harassing her. That whole thing was trumped up by the right, made to get Al Franken out of the Senate because, frankly, he was too effective of a senator. Tina Dupuy, thank you, Cringe McGee in the YouTube chat room. Tina Dupuy. So Tina Dupuy says, Al Franken harassed me too. He assaulted me. And what was it? I read her account that some publication published for whatever reason. And oh my God, he put his hand, they were taking a picture. And as people do when they're taking pictures, Al Franken put his hand around her waist. Well, what she said was, he grabbed a roll of fat on my waist. Sensitive about your weight, Tina? Is that what it is? And she said that the mere touch of him with putting his hand around her waist and maybe, you know, grabbing onto the roll that's sitting there, that constituted her assault by Al Franken. That's the day I realized Tina Dupuy is vanquished from my life. I've got no use for her. That's ridiculous. Well, that's what this third allegation against David Silverman reminded me of. The woman in question was his friend, someone who, you know, went with him to this party they were at, where she said, he touched my sacrum, her lower back, the small of her back. She was bent over and she was in pain. And he said, are you okay? Can I help you? And he touched the small of her back. And for that, she cried sexual assault. So I just posted on Twitter that some of these Me Too complaints are, you know, somewhat questionable. Again, in her case, the other two, I don't know much about. In her case, I listened to the audio of the court hearing, after which the judge threw out the case because it was pure and simple bullshit. So, here's my question. I get the need for the Me Too movement. There are people like Harvey Weinstein out there and Jeffrey Epstein and people that pretty much every woman I know has had one of them. I had one of them. I had a boss. We were on a business trip once, and he tried to force his way into my hotel room. I had to push back on the door to say, fuck no, get out. I'm going to sleep. So, and Diane Russell in the chat room said, I heard she doesn't even allow her husband to touch her like that. Well, then that's their problem. She's like, oh, I can't stand to have a man touch me anymore because someone put his hand on the small of your back. So, look, Me Too served a very important purpose, and I think it still does. But I do worry that not all women are honest brokers. And there are some out for some nefarious purposes, like the woman who went after Al Franken, whose name I don't remember. I have no reason to remember, but she's, you know, a friend of Sean Hannity. She's a right-wing, you know, spokesmodel kind of person who was like the girl sidekick on a morning show on KABC in Los Angeles. I mean, she was in it for the politics. So, yes, and Environmental Coffee House in the chat room said, everyone our age who is female was a victim at one time or another. Absolutely. And My default position is to believe the woman. And so I looked at all the information I could find about this case. And what I realize is, in so many cases, it's he said, she said. And the allegations that were put out against David Silverman, to me, sound tenuous. They sound fishy. He's not saying he was innocent in all this. He was saying he's guilty of some really bad behavior. He fucked around on his wife. He had affairs. He engaged in questionable behavior. But what he is saying is it was all consensual. Now, do I know? I don't know. This is going to be the first time I've spoken to David Silverman in a few years. And frankly, he contacted me and he said, this is what's been going on in my life. And I'm trying to I'm trying to clear my name. Now, I'm not taking a side one way or another. I will say I think that third woman was in it for some other reason. I don't know what the deal is with the other two. I'll talk to David Silverman about it. And I'll tell you what, if either of those other two women want to come on the show and talk to me, they've got an open invitation. But I want to look today at what, you know, a woman with a stick up her ass or a chip on her shoulder is capable of doing to a man who, and I'm not saying of David Silverman didn't do anything wrong, but the possibility is there because we do believe all women. Well, look, I've been very bending over backwards to give Tara Reid the benefit of the doubt. And over the course of the last couple of months, more and more information about her has come out that's got me very, you know, doubting anything she says. In fact, today, this from Politico, the California DA in Monterey County, a DA in California, I guess I should say, launched an investigation into Tara Reid's testimony. That's the headline of Politico. The Monterey County District Attorney's Office has launched an investigation into whether Tara Reid lied on the witness stand while acting as an expert witness. Reid, using the name Alexandra McCabe, for years testified as an expert in domestic violence cases for the California DA's office. Among the issues is whether she lied about her credentials to qualify as an expert. So more and more, the things I'm reading about Tara Reid, or is it Alexandra McCabe, are troubling. And the thing that really made me doubt her veracity was when I heard that her father, I believe back in the 70s or 80s, wrote a book. And somebody sent me a passage from the book, which was basically the same story that Tara Reid told about Joe Biden, that the woman in the book was pushed up against the wall in an alcove and the protagonist put his hand under her dress and his fingers inside her. Exactly what Tara Reid alleged. And to me, that's a little too coincidental. So anyway, we'll get into it. We'll get into it. Now, I see somebody in the chat room. I guess there are people, you know, from both sides who are going to come. And that's fine. All are welcome here. But Michael Spencer said, did Nicole see the lawsuit Silverman filed against the first two women? No, I didn't. But I'll ask him about it because that's what I do. Again, I'm not taking a stand. I wasn't there. I don't know. I will say that the third woman, hearing her in court, the tape is out there. She's full of shit. The first two women, I don't know. And I believe in hearing both sides of the story. And that's what's lost on a lot of these Me Too accusations, is the other side of the story. And as a woman, yes, I'm predetermined to trust the woman. But you know what? I know a lot of really shitty women. And let me tell you, women are not above lying. They do it all the time. Some almost as prolific as Donald Trump, who is the liar of all liars. So I wish we could just believe everybody. But people lie. And we have the biggest liar in the nation in the Oval Office, occupying the Oval Office. And you can't believe a word he says. Not a fucking word. So I now approach everything with a bit of what's the word I'm looking for? having a brain fart. You know, a bit of trepidation with a grain of salt. You know, I doubt everything, question everything. So we'll get there. Lots of news today, a really sad milestone. Today, the death toll in the United States alone from COVID-19 passed 100,000. 100,000 people. These are human lives who are now dead because of this pandemic, this epidemic that has ravaged our nation. And Donald Trump, you know, thinks, you know, he's doing a great job and will tell you over and over again that he's doing a great job. Well, let me tell you, he's doing a great job at killing Americans. He's doing a great job of trying to cover his own ass and trying to appease his base to the detriment of the rest of us. He doesn't care if we die. Skepticism. Yes, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Skepticism. Absolutely. Healthy skepticism. So here we are. I actually left my house today for the first time in over 2 months. except to, you know, walk around the block with my dog. Seriously, first time I got in my car, first time I drove my car in 2 months. And I went to a doctor's appointment. I had been, look, I'm honest with you guys about everything. I had been, you know, I suffer from depression. And there's a new treatment. I'm trying to get off the antidepressants because they're not good for you. And there's a new treatment called TMS. And TMS is a transmagnetic something. I don't know what it stands for. I don't remember. But it's a magnetic. It's a magnet, a very powerful magnet, like an MRI, that targets a piece of your brain, ostensibly or allegedly responsible for depression, where the depression is based. And it's FDA approved and insurance covers it. So at the beginning of the year, I went to this place and started getting treatments. And then I realized I couldn't afford the copay and I stopped going because it was expensive. And, you know, I don't have the money for that. So and I stopped and then COVID happened and here we are. Well, they actually called me yesterday and said, come back. We want to work with you. And so basically they're working with me. They're giving me a scholarship so I don't have to pay any copay. The insurance is handling it and the rest they're not charging me for. So I went back today and it's a thing I'm going to go to every day. Again, it's just, it's a tapping. It's like it taps right here on your head. It kind of feels like what I would imagine a woodpecker feels like going into your head. And I will keep you posted. I mean, that's part of the thing. The deal I made with them is they're giving me a scholarship so I don't have to pay the copay. And I said, I will give them honest reviews. I'm not going to say anything worked when it didn't, but I have been saddled with debilitating depression for a couple of decades now. So if this works, great. So anyway, yes, Carne Verde, it says it sounds very expensive. The copay for me would have been $25 a day, which is 5 days a week. You go in $125 a week. I don't have that kind of money. And so that's why I didn't do it. But again, they're covering that portion for me. So I will be honest, as I am with everything. And so I'll let you know. But what I noticed is I walked into the office, everyone was wearing a mask, everyone was wearing gloves, they were very clean. I felt comfortable. But when I walked out of the office to get back in my car, there's a couple walking towards me without masks. I just don't understand it. I don't get it. But then again, you've got this idiot, Donald Trump, who lashes out at a reporter for wearing a mask. It's just unconscionable. This man is dangerous. And the reason those people were walking around without a mask is because Donald Trump tells them not to wear a mask. That's all. So anyway, I'll keep you posted on the TMS. That's what it's called, TMS, if you want to look it up. I will put Greg in the chat room said, Nicole, I hear there's a new med for it too called hydroxychloroquine. It's a miracle drug, I tells you. Yeah. I take vitamin D. Yeah, I've done all that. And I still take Prozac. And frankly, Prozac has given me relief. But I would like to get off the Prozac. So anyway, more on that on another day. Okay. But today, we're gonna deal with Me Too and the other side of Me Too. And of course, the news. I do have news to share with you, but I guess we should start with a funny, right? Let me do this one. I'm gonna play for you another one from a friend of the show. Her name is Shirley Sherban, and she was one of my quarantine calling friends who I reached out to, who happens to be in New Zealand. And the reason I'm playing her newest, well, it may not even be her newest. She is so prolific. She's been knocking these videos out, and this woman is so talented. But I'm playing this one specifically today because we learned today that New Zealand has not one person hospitalized with COVID-19 right now. They had something like a dozen deaths, if that. We've had 100,000 that we know of. We know the number is actually much higher than that. But in New Zealand, they basically eradicated it. They had very strict quarantine rules, even though they never had a horrendous or horrible outbreak. But anyway, she did, and they did. And there is not one hospitalized case of COVID-19 left in New Zealand. That said, Shirley Sherbon is still doing her videos. Now, by profession, she is the principal of a small school there in New Zealand where she lives. In her spare time, she's a photographer. Her website is a photography website. And, well, and she does these videos just in her spare time, I guess because she can. So with no further ado, let's listen to this one from Shirley Sherbon. As we say, New Zealand, you guys fucking rock. Not only that, you gave us Crowded House and the Finn Brothers. This is my musical reference of the day. All right. All right. So here we go. Take it away, Shirley Sherbon. Whoops.
Quarantine has lifted. It's like a fantasy. We still have restrictions. Prevent COVID-19. Town is filled with people wanting to shop once more. We need to be careful. Don't crowd like times before. Don't stand so, don't stand so close to me. Don't stand so, don't stand so close to me. In line at the checkout, so close I hear you breathe. Move back or I'll freak out. We'll both get asked to leave. I get that you're friendly and just want to say hi, but you could be deadly. Your moist breath in my eye. Don't stand, don't stand so close to me. Don't stand so, don't stand so close to me. Back at work, reunion, they want to laugh and chat. I prefer my seclusion. Keep me away from that. Eating out behind me, I hear a sniff and cough. Last straw that you'll find me. At home I've had enough. Don't stand, don't stand so, don't stand so close to me. Don't stand so, don't stand so close to me.
Please
don't stand so close to me. Don't stand, don't stand so, don't stand so close to me.
She's got Angry Birds. She's got lots of wonderful photos running through this, and she's doing three-part harmonies. Shirley Sherbon is her name. Ah, okay. Let's. There we go. Shirley Sherbon. You can find her on YouTube. She, again, quite prolific and really talented. And again, she's in New Zealand where they've basically eradicated the COVID. So it can be done if you have decent leadership, which they do and we don't. All right. As I mentioned earlier, David Silverman coming up at the bottom of the hour. Right now, we've got some news to get to. Oy, I guess we'll do it live. Oh, we'll, we'll do it live.
I read the news today, oh boy.
We'll do it live!
Thank you, Bill.
Do it live!
Okay, Bill.
I'll write it and we'll do it live!
You know,
live.
He's just standing in the
fucking
wings waiting because...
Sucks.
Okay, Bill, shut up. Because Rush Limbaugh's not doing well. And again, I take license to crow about it a little bit. I had lung cancer, so I can talk about someone else with lung cancer. And all I can say about Rush Limbaugh is it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Yeah. Anyway, I mentioned earlier, today we passed the 100,000 American human being lives taken in the United States due to the COVID-19. And Lester Holt on NBC last night actually had a really meaningful comment about it. You know, 100,000 is a number. Why mark 100,000?
It's like we're living the stages of grief all at once. Denial, anger, bargaining, despair, and perhaps even acceptance. Is it possible we've come to accept 100,000 deaths, or are we simply unable to process it? This, of course, is not over, but we choose milestones to take stock, to remember, to share our sorrows until, as a country, we can confront the depths of our collective pain face to face.
We can't. The fact that 100,000 people have died through the malfeasance of this administration, and we need to keep pushing that. If they had done their job, if they had not sent a group of medical experts onto that first group of people who came off that first cruise ship who they knew were infected, and then let them loose on the country with no protective gear, no nothing, and no monitoring, they just let them loose to just wander the country. That's how you spread a pandemic. And Donald Trump did it in like the first week that it was real. It was just malpractice, malfeasance, dereliction of duty. Someone should sue him. The family of somebody who died should sue him. Just an idea. Anyway, in other news, the Minneapolis Police Department has fired four officers over the death of George Floyd. That's the name of the man, the black man, who was killed by these cops, especially the one who had his knee in his neck. The mayor of Minneapolis, Mayor Jacob Frey, tweeted, "This is the right call." Okay. Thousands of people gathered outside a police station last night to protest after the video surfaced showing one of the officers with his knee on the back of Floyd's neck as he's handcuffed on the ground and crying, "Please, I can't breathe." And Floyd died at the hospital, or was pronounced dead at the hospital after the ambulance took him there. And apparently it was a forgery in progress, whatever that means. Maybe he was trying to pass a bad check. Really? So you're going to kill him over that? So the FBI is now investigating. And my question is, when will these cops be arrested and charged with murder? I'm glad they were fired. That's a no-brainer. Arrest them and charge them with murder. Now, someone else who was fired after a disgustingly racist tirade is a woman named Amy Cooper. She's the one who was in Central Park in New York and exposed in the viral video calling the police on an African-American man who was a bird watcher, who, you know, she was letting her dog run around off leash, and that's illegal. You can't do that in Central Park. And he merely asked her to leash her dog. And she said, "I'm going to call the cops and tell them that a black man is threatening my life." And in the call to the police, which is on the video that he shot, she twice repeats that she's being threatened by an African-American man. Well, kudos to the investment management firm Franklin Templeton, where she worked. And worked in the past tense is the operative word there, because she's been fired. Now, I got to say, the man, his name is Christian Cooper, no relation to Amy Cooper. He said that you know, her life shouldn't be destroyed over this. And he doesn't think she should be fired because he sounds like a really decent guy. I'm not that decent. Fire her ass and make her unemployable. So that's going on. All right. Now, I discovered a new word to describe what it is that Donald Trump does when he throws these tantrums, whether they're on Twitter or usually on Twitter or at the, you know, briefing microphone when he's going off on a journalist. There are tantrums. Get it? Tantrum? What do you think? I kind of like it. It just came to me. Anyway, so Donald Trump is having another tantrum on Twitter. And this time it's against Twitter, who said weeks ago that they'd begin flagging tweets with questionable contents. Well, they finally slapped a fact check label on two of Trump's tweets yesterday for the very first time. One of them, In one of them, Trump falsely suggested that mail-in ballots were fraudulent, and the other one referred people to news articles about Trump's unsubstantiated claims. Well, a Twitter spokesperson said the company had labeled the tweets, quote, to provide additional context around mail-in ballots. Trump accused Twitter of, quote, stifling free speech, and then he suggested he'd shut them down. Really? He's saying he's going to shut down Twitter? First of all, he could never do that. He wouldn't do it personally because, oh no. Okay. All right. Well, I got to tell you, David Silverman is now on my Twitter stream, and he's decided that he responded. I think our interview might get derailed. Donald Trump tweeted earlier today, in all caps, Obamagate makes Watergate look like small potatoes. And I responded, I said, really? Please define, quote, Obamagate, LMFAO. And David Silverman responded, he said, it's very, very bad, this Obamagate. You won't believe how bad it is. Obama was so bad because he was bad, and now a scandal to end his presidency once and for all, and not at all a distraction. Oh, I get what he's doing. Because this is so very big and important, most people can't understand it. Hashtag so big. My advice to David Silverman, nuance and sarcasm doesn't work well on Twitter because people can't hear the inflections in your voice, and people might think you're serious. I get what you're doing here, but with all the shit that's swirling around you right now, this is not a good time to make tweets like that. Just saying. Yeah, I'd back away from the comedy attempts because we know what, you know, where that gets people. Anyway, that said, there is a wonderful Twitter thread. Oh, I don't have time for it. Well, we'll get into it tomorrow. But just listen to what's news. Maybe I'll play it at the end of the show, or maybe I'll get to this story at the end of the show, because it is time to call our guest. So let's do it and see how it goes. As I mentioned earlier, our guest today is David Silverman. He is, he was the president of American Atheists for 18 years or so, or thereabouts. And I'm looking. OK, there he is. And he was fired. He was fired because they said, hold on, I'm trying to. There we go. I'm making sure I've got his video and setting up the shot. David, you're seeing me on my second computer, so you can actually see video of me. This is not the view that's going out. I talked to the camera over there. But anyway, I'm happy to welcome back to the show David Silverman, former president of American Atheists, the guy going through, some shit right now. And we're going to try to get to the bottom of it. Let's just make sure I can hear you. David, you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. All right. I love it when things work the way they're supposed to. So we haven't spoken in a while. It's been a few years. And wait. Oh, I lost you. Hold on. I think I just potted you down. Are you there? Talk to me. No, I just lost your sound. What happened?
Testing one,
oh,
two,
there
three.
You are. Okay, now I got you. Now I got you. Okay, so you reached out to me last week, or actually a couple of weeks ago, and things have been nuts in our world, so it took me a little while to get to it, and I finally read through all your stuff. And the way I position this is, in our little cover photo or the graphic that I put for today's show, is hashtag me too, and then hashtag too much. I think that's the way I put it, you know, or the other side, or too far is what I said. I think that, look, I think that the Me Too movement is important. I think it uncovered a whole lot of really sleazy, horrible behaviors that are going on. But I think it's also destroying some lives because people lie. I'm not saying women lie. I'm saying people lie. And we're seeing it play out in real time with this president who can't open his mouth without lying. So, you know, that's a concern. And I understand when the whole Me Too stuff started, the attitude was believe the women. Well, you know, I say we need to listen to the women. Belief, I've been burned a few times, and perhaps you have too. So David Silverman, there's my long, lengthy intro. I guess tell us what happened. What, you were president of American Atheists. You went into work one day and they said you're fired?
Yeah. So first of all, Nicole, thanks for having me on the show and allowing me to come on. It's good to be on your show again.
Good to talk to you.
Basically, I walked into my office one day and they perp walked me out. My chairman of the board was there. They didn't tell me why, what was happening. They didn't tell me what had happened. They had me pack a box and leave my office in front of my staff. And, I want to preface this discussion, Nicole, because I don't want to prove to my innocence to your audience. I'm going to tell you what happened, but I've already lost everything. I've got no dog in the pony here anymore. So I would like this to not be all, here's all my evidence. And here's, I just want to tell you what happened.
Okay.
And you can, of course, ask all the questions you want. I hope.
So, I will.
I had sex with a board member's wife.
Okay.
And I had sex with a young woman who threw herself at me when I was in my mid-40s at a convention. She threw herself at me for the whole day. And I had positive sexual encounters with both of them. Very different sexual encounters, but positive sexual encounters with both of them. And they both lied. And they both lied just enough. One lied a little and one lied a lot, just enough to get me fired. Me fired in disgrace, to get me walked out of my office. And the allegations include the word rape.
Yeah.
Okay. Because of course, if you take, one of the allegations was I was too drunk to have sex with him, which is a lie in and of itself. She wasn't. But my point is that the word associated with having sex with somebody too drunk to consent is rape.
Okay. Yeah.
And so now this word is next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the word assault is next to me. And I am the exact opposite of those words. I that's not it. I have my own issues. I cheated on my wife. I lied about cheating on my wife.
Yeah.
I've never committed assault in my life. I've never not taken no for an answer unless it was in a game.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a safe word involved, which there was for the second one. And I mean, just to give you an idea of the length of the lie that's going on here, and I want you to see the intent.
Okay.
Because this is not a situation where there was a mixed communication and she took it the wrong way. That's not the case. This is the case where three different women, for three different reasons, lied about sexual assault to hurt me for personal gain. The most important of these is the wife of the board member. The wife of the board member and I engaged in a BDSM play.
Is this the person that was known as R, the letter R,
yeah,
for a long time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Her name is Beth Presswood. But I mean, she's come out. Her actual name is Rachel Lamoli, I believe it is now. But my point is, she, we were in this negotiation, and in this negotiation for what we're going to do during our BDSM scene, she told me twice to call her a whore.
Mm-hmm.
And it was her idea. And I'm just using this one example,
right,
but I just want you to boil this home. It was her idea for me to call her a whore, and she said it twice before I did it. And that's one of the things she complained about in the paper.
Right. I read
this
that.
This is the level of what we're dealing with here. This is mustache twirling time. Okay. The third person was even worse. The third person, Rebecca Finch Witzman, she's the person who said, actually, I'm an atheist, to Wolf Blitzer all those years ago, and she got 15 minutes of fame for it. She actually posed as a friend of mine. She came to me. Now, I want to make sure that y'all get this, too,
uh-huh,
because this is all part of court testimony that I've given to you.
Right. And
okay?
I mentioned earlier, this is the testimony that I listened to, and I found her story ridiculous.
Yeah.
But go ahead and tell what she's saying. This is crazy.
It is crazy, and crazy is the word, because some of the lies that have been made against me are malicious. Beth Presswood, Rachel Lamoli's name, thing, and Rose St. Clair, they were malicious. I believe Rebecca Witzman is mentally ill. So when we're talking about Me Too, there is two reasons that women would lie. Okay. They either are crazy or they're bad,
mm-hmm,
bad actors. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe personally that Rebecca Witzman is a very disturbed person, but she was manipulated by her good friend, Beth Presswood. That's
oh,
you.
They're friends.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't know this until, yeah, they're very good friends. And so when everything collapsed, I went into this big hole. After I was fired, walked out, big disgrace, I went into this big depressive hole. Then I began to come out of it. When I began to come out of it, Rebecca Vitzman friended me. I knew who she was because she had some degree of notoriety.
Uh-huh.
So she friended me. She lent me two computers. We started socializing together. We went to bars. We went out for dinner. I went to her house. I stayed at her house for several hours while she helped me through my trauma. And then she invited me to a party.
Mm-hmm.
And when she invited me to a party, the first thing I said was, no, the party's too far away. She said, come to the party. We'll drive you both ways. And so her husband picked me up and dropped me off.
Huh.
I went into the party and Rebecca was there. She had a cast on her knee, but she stood up and she said, I won't stand up and hug everybody, but I'm going to stand up and hug you, Dave. And she just announced it. So I went over, of course, she wants to hug me. I went over and I gave her a hug. Everything was fine. But then, and I want to make sure that I don't exaggerate this at all. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the hallway. We were going to go out to the back and smoke weed. By the way, weed is legal in Washington.
That's fine.
And we were going to go backyard and smoke weed. And we're having a good time. And I am, by the way, on my best behavior. This is my first party since everything exploded.
Okay.
I'm not drinking too much. I'm not smoking too much. I am just happy to be at a party, at a social gathering with nice people. And two of them are my friends. And everything
you're,
is good.
Or so you thought. Right.
So I thought. So Rebecca and her partner, Connie Mueller, were in the hallway. This was at Connie's house.
Okay.
And I was going to go by them, to walk by them. And Rebecca was trying to pick something up off the floor. And like I said, she had something, a cast on her knee. So I walked up behind her. I touched her on the back. And I said, is there anything I can do to help? She said, no. And I said, okay. And I smiled at my friend and went out back.
Mm-hmm.
And she claims that when I touched her on her back, I touched a nerve that connected it to her vagina. And it made her uncontrollably sexually aroused.
Oh, my God.
And she went into trauma for this. And she claimed I sexually assaulted her. And when she did this, again, I want to show motive here. She did not do so in a way to say, hey, I invited my friend Dave Silverman to this party and he touched me on the back and it sent me into a tizzy. What she said was, Dave Silverman creepy touched me at a party.
You touched the small of her back, which she kept calling the sacrum, I guess technically
well,
it is.
At first it wasn't just her back. She began to do podcast after podcast. And at first, the podcast, and it's in the recording that you heard, she just said, I brushed her back,
right.
Which is exactly what happened. I brushed her back.
Mm-hmm.
Then it became, I caressed her sacrum, which just makes it, I mean, it's obviously misleading. It's obviously twisting it. And she called it sexual assault. And then while she claimed to not be participating in cancel culture, she sent emails to bloggers on the far left and the papers came out. Dave Silverman creepy touches another woman. Third time's a charm, Dave.
Wow.
Three strikes and you're out. And so here I am. And I'm so glad that you brought me on this show, Nicole, because I mean, you've known me. I mean, we're not like good friends or
right,
anything, but you've known me. I've been on your show several times.
Yeah.
I'm a good guy.
Yeah,
okay?
We've had some great conversations.
I mean, to have these words associated with me is violation in and of itself. Okay, and I am really tired of people saying, "Oh, the poor cishet white guy is complaining that he lost everything."
Right.
Because this cishet white guy has feelings and has worked really hard to make the world a better place for his 20 odd years in work, including 25 years in activism. I'm important too, and I care too. And I got ruined by three women who broke the cardinal rule that I always said. I always said when I was super progressive, I always said women wouldn't lie about sexual assault.
Look, I know women. And that's why I have more male friends than I do female friends, frankly, because women are not always honest. I get the believe the women stuff, but not all women are honest. And just, you know,
some of them are horrible.
Now, Dave Silverman. So I listened to the recording of the court hearing with the third person, the one who you sexually assaulted her by touching her sacrum, caressing the small of her back. And if I heard correctly, the judge basically laughed her out of court.
Yeah.
So that's...
But that's not the end of it, though, because she also filed criminal charges against me.
Oh, my God.
I have to talk to the police. And why did she do it? Because she had that podcast, and she really wanted me on that podcast. So she had a podcast that she barely had. Then when this happened and she threw me under the bus, she did three podcasts about it. Three podcasts. One of them podcasts was named David Silverman. David Silverman touched me without permission. And so, Nicole, you're a famous person. You don't want that in your Google search
results. No, of course not.
And you don't want the progressive far left journalist writing, "Oh, Dave Silverman, third time's a charm," sexually assaults another woman, and believe all women, so they're all telling the truth. And it's, I mean, Nicole, I am recovering. I am strong again. I am employed.
Are you still married? Are you married?
No, I'm not. Oh. I am not married anymore.
Okay.
And my kid won't talk to me.
Oh, no.
And I lost almost all of my friends. And, of course, my reputation is shot.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, you should try to get a job when you're a 53-year-old cishet white guy with three Me Too allegations against you.
Right. Oh, my God. All right, so Dave Silverman is with us. So we know what happened to the third case. What happened with the first two? Did those women file criminal complaints against you, or did they just make out they just made Me Too allegations and let them sit there, so you had no day in court?
They did no day in court. They never faced me. They never filed any sort of complaint. They just went to BuzzFeed, had me fired, and walked out of my office like a criminal and walked away. Rose St. Clair got mentioned in BuzzFeed, and Beth Presswood got, I mean, they're both hero statuses because women never lie. So Beth Presswood, I'm pretty sure. So here's the thing about Beth, and you know, I don't want to get too insidious in here, but I want you to see this little part here, okay?
Okay.
There's this extra caveat, this extra twist, okay? I had sex with Beth Presswood, a board member's wife. She apparently told him the next day that I assaulted her because she woke up the next morning with black and blue titties. Can I say titties?
You can say whatever you want, yeah.
Okay. She woke up the next morning with black and blue
titties.
This
was the BDSM.
That was part of the thing that we did.
Gotcha.
And so she lied to her husband and convinced him, apparently, that I had hurt her. Now, here's the thing. Here's the twist. Now, that happened in 2015. In 2017, I had a recorded conversation with said board member. And said board member, Matt Dillahunty's a big guy. Before I go on with the story, I just want everybody to think about this for a second. All of your listeners, I want you to think about what it would be like if I sexually assaulted your partner. Let's just pretend for a moment that I sexually assaulted your partner. I pinned her up against the wall, just as Beth said. I pinned her up against the wall, grabbed her, told her that she couldn't say no, slapped her across the face, sent her out apparently crying. Okay, let's say I did that to your spouse.
Yeah.
And let's say
he'd kill you.
2 years later. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So let's say 2 years later, I get you in a room and I say, "Hey, Nicole, you know, person to person, how are we?"
Uh huh.
Okay. What are you going to say?
I'm going to say, "You raped my wife. I'm going to kill you."
Right.
Right.
That's what everybody would say. But 2 years later, I had a conversation recorded with Matt Dillahunty, and I asked him that question, and he said, "We're good. I would have no problem getting on the stage with you. There are some people that I don't like. I won't get on stage with them, but I will get on stage with you. You keep you doing your thing, and I'll keep doing my thing."
How long ago was this?
That was in 2017,
okay.
2 years after I supposedly molested his wife. And then a year later... After that recording, Matt's all mad again that I hurt his wife.
Huh. Okay,
it's
that's
almost,
weird.
And again, this is on recording. It's on the website that I sent you. Yep. My website is firebrandforgood.com. And if you go firebrandforgood.com/me too, you can hear this recording.
Right.
Of Matt Dillahunty telling me, "We're good, we're fine," which is not what you say to a man who sexually assaulted your wife.
No.
It's also... also electing him president or reelecting him president of American Atheists, which Matt did without resistance, without apparent resistance, is not something you do when somebody sexually assaults your wife.
No, and why wouldn't he have brought it up 2 years earlier after this allegedly happened?
Amazing how that works, huh?
Right. So, okay, so that was the first complaint, and then the second one with this woman, Rose, that happened afterwards?
So they both came in at the same time. It was choreographed. I'm pretty sure it was choreographed by Matt Dillahunty, who went out and looked for another woman who would complain against me. I'm speculating now. I actually don't know the chain of events here. But she was another woman I had had sex with years and years before. It was 7 years ago.
Wow.
And I'll just... You know, I'll say it again. You know, I was 40-something. There was a young co-ed. She was 22, beautiful. She threw herself at me over the course of an entire day. She came to me before lunch. We had lunch together. She spent all day with me. We had dinner together. We went back to my apartment. We had sexual relations. And then she decided to say she was too drunk to consent.
Oh, God.
Which is not true. She was not too drunk to consent. She wasn't drunk at all. And again, I don't care if anybody believes me. I'm telling you, she wasn't drunk at all. And she made that up. And she made it up just so she could talk about it.
And again, her allegations came out in 2017 or 2018 for something that had happened years prior?
Yeah, 2011.
So Rose is accusing you of something that happened in 2011. She let 6 years go by without ever saying a word about it. And then the other Beth... is accusing you now in 2017 of something that happened in 2015. Neither one of them came forward for a number of years?
None. Neither of them.
And neither one of them filed any kind of charges against you, so you couldn't defend yourself in court. You were just fired with no recourse.
Without any due process. And, you know, and I want to make sure that that's understood. The American Atheist policy, written policy, required due process. I did not get that because I was accused of raping somebody. The board, I guess it was somewhat reasonable that they knee-jerked. They're amateurs. They knee-jerked. They panicked. They fired me without due process. They never even listened to the board members who were witnesses.
Okay, so did you, David Silverman, ever... file a suit against them? Did you try to get closure? Did you try to get this into the court so you could defend yourself? What happened?
Yeah, I did. I filed a suit against all of them, and I ended up dropping it because, well, there's a couple reasons I dropped it. The first one was that Rebecca Vitzman came along and made a third attack.
Okay.
And that was going to look bad to a jury.
Oy.
And then the other one was I did get hired by Atheist Alliance International to be
right.
their executive
that
director.
That was before that Rebecca Vinceman came forward, right?
Right. So I couldn't say, well, I was out of the movement anymore. I couldn't say I was booted from the movement and unhireable. Now, it was a very low-paying job, but it was a paying job. So my upper bound for those lawsuits went way down, and my costs went way up, and that's why I dropped the lawsuit. But I do have a polygraph test that shows what I did, and I have an open offer. To either of those women, I will pay for their polygraph tests. I will pay them, you know, to do anything, to come on and just do it, but to just come on and talk about it. You know, come on, Beth, come on, Rose, come on and talk about it. They won't go on any shows to talk about it at all. And they used to use the excuse of the lawsuit. They used to say, oh, we can't because we're in an active lawsuit. Now there's no lawsuit. Now there's no NDA. Still, they're not coming on to talk about their side. It's almost as if they made it up, and under any sort of cross-examination at all, it would fail.
Right.
Because
so this is very.
Nicole, that's what happened.
This is disturbing because, again, not you know, saying I believe them or I believe you or I believe anyone. Due process is what should be called for here. If they make allegations, and you're fired from your position of 18 years. Yeah. On the basis of these allegations, and yet they've never filed charges, which tells me that there's no grounds to the allegations. If there was, there'd be a at least a police report. There's nothing. Yeah. How does American and have you contacted American Atheists again about wrongful termination?
Yeah, but that was not going to win either. That was not going to win. I mean, yeah, I do have a case against them. Okay. There was a statute of limitations issue, but really the problem is that I don't have an upper bound anymore. I got hired again, and I have a third allegation against me. So it's really going to, even though the third allegation is on its face bogus, just like the other two, the wrongful termination was there because they did have a written policy that said I needed due process, and they ignored their written policy.
Right.
So that is wrongful termination.
There were also allegations of financial improprieties, but you do have a letter from, I guess, someone on the board who said that's not, simply not true.
Yeah, I mean, when they first fired me, American Atheists, the new incoming president, Nick Fish, really wanted to cover his ass and cover their asses. I am convinced that Nick Fish had something to do with it, though I can prove some of it, yes. They really wanted to cover it up. They really wanted to pretend that they didn't knee-jerk and boot me out for these allegations. So they made up a bogus assertion, which is defamation of character, that there was some sort of financial impropriety. Just to put everything into perspective, American Atheists, under my guard, had their financials audited by an independent accounting firm every year. Mm-hmm. My books were clean. And the financial audit that came back after I was fired, after I was fired, came back clean, as was written by a board member, and I have it in writing. Go ahead.
So this is a situation, this is a classic, he said, she said. The fact that they haven't filed charges, to me, is disturbing because it leaves you no recourse to defend yourself, to fight back and say, wait a minute, I want my day in court. You've just been accused and it hangs there. This, I believe, is the problem with the Me Too movement. Somebody in the chat room just said, well, maybe it was what he was wearing. He asked for it. This, you know, why are people out to get you? Now, you have been a controversial figure. Yes. The entire time I've known you and then some. So do you think people just wanted you out of there? Either you're giving atheists a bad name?
No, it's not about me giving atheists a bad name. I made atheism. I made the movement, okay? I literally changed the movement with my brain. I wrote a book about
it. Okay, now you're sounding awfully Trumpian, but just saying.
I am very, well, I did it. I have a book. And I wrote it myself. No, they're not. They weren't thinking that I was doing bad for atheism. They were thinking that I was doing bad for their publicity. I am convinced personally that Matt Dillahunty is a very jealous and small man who really wanted to be gone so that he could be the biggest person in the movement. Mm. I think Nick Fish wanted my job in a big way and thought he could do it. I think that I was the highest end person in the movement. I was the highest paid person in the movement. I was certainly the most famous atheist activist in the country.
And you were controversial. And there were a lot of people who really, really hated you. They didn't like your tone. And look, to just be honest with you, I'm looking at the chat room and it's very mixed. There are people who, look, I get it too. There are people who just simply don't like me. There are people who just simply don't like you. And it could be because, look, you know, because you said I built the movement. But that said, you can be the most reprehensible asshole in the world. It doesn't make it okay for someone to destroy your life with a charge that they're not willing to back up.
Right. And that's it. You know, you can love me or you can hate me, but lying about me, I mean, think about it. Think about what this does, Nicole, because I want to stress this. This is a situation where three times I had done nothing wrong, mm-hmm. and three times women lied about sexual assault. One of those times, there was no sex at all, and I still got a sexual assault allegation.
Wow.
And I want to show this because think about what this is doing to male-female relations.
Yeah.
I mean, I am in a situation now, okay, where anybody, any woman on the planet can just lie.
Yes.
And three women have already lied.
Right.
So a fourth woman could just come up and lie. You could do it.
Yep.
You could say, I was talking to David Silverman offline and he made lewd comments to me and I'm done.
Right.
I'm done.
You use the word titties instead of breasts when you could have easily just said breast.
It
could,
exactly.
You know, but again, that doesn't give anyone license to make allegations and then not defend them. Make allegations if you want, but that you better damn be prepared to defend them and back up what you're saying. I don't think it's okay to destroy someone's life by throwing shit against the wall to see what sticks and then walking away. And I'm sure you feel that way too. So.
Oh, yeah.
What do you do now?
This is where you mentioned before how important Me Too has been, and I completely agree. I think Me Too was a great thing, but the word there is was.
Yeah.
I think Me Too really was great in its time, but it has been adapted and abused. And now I'm looking at, you know, three for me. I'm looking at Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. I'm looking at Steve McRae and his recent episode with the false allegations. And I am seeing, you know, when you get a car and all of a sudden you see cars just like yours all over the world.
Yeah, you see them everywhere. Well, right. Yep.
I see sexual assault everywhere. I see false sexual assault allegations everywhere. I am at the point now where I'm believing the men by default. When a man says, I didn't do it, the woman lied to me. I mean, yeah, that's where my brain goes. And that's not where my brain used to go.
All right.
But that's because of my experience of three different women lying.
I hear you.
Just to hurt me.
David, we're just out of time. I mean, you've told your story. The website is firebrandforgood.com. If you go /MeToo, you'll see your side of this whole story, including the tape of that court hearing. In which that third woman, I think, just totally, you know, outed herself as a flake and a liar. That was the impression I got. I wish you the best of luck. This, you know, this is an issue. This is a problem. What happened to Al Franken was a problem. And I'm seeing, at least on some level, what happened to you is a problem. Not having spoken to any of these women, but hearing what I've heard and reading what I've read, I think you got a bum deal. And it's fair game on everyone right now. So,
Nicole, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate you allowing me to give my story. I appreciate all of your listeners for giving heed to this. You know, we're all trying to make our way in this world, and it's hard. But I think due process and skepticism and the realization that everybody could be bad or everybody could be good and everybody could be sane or not sane has to be a part of our lives, as well as the humanism of treating everybody kindly. And I want to thank you very much, Nicole, for having me on. And it's good to talk to you again.
It's good to talk to you, too. Take care and best of luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. There you go. David Silverman. Do I know what happened there? What, you know, how this ends? Hell no. I don't think anyone does. I just think that anybody is open to allegations. And you got no recourse. I think we're in a very dangerous territory. All right. With that, thank you for listening, everyone. Bye to Progressive Voices. For everyone else still here, there was more I wanted to share with you. We're just going to have to do it tomorrow. So come back tomorrow. Howie Klein will be here. It's Thursday. And I will tell you all about the tweet of God and Donald Trump's murder charges against him. You see, you know what? Let me do this real quickly, as long as I'm here. This will still go on the podcast. There's a Twitter account. It is the Tweet of God. It's one of my favorite Twitter accounts that I follow. And the guy who, God tweeted a whole thread today that reads thusly. Donald Trump killed his personal assistant, Carolyn Gumbel, in October 2000. He strangled her because he'd gotten her pregnant and was threatening to tell the press. Then he bribed New York Police Department Police Chief Bernie Kerik to cover it up. It's time to investigate. Hashtag justice for Carolyn. The next tweet in the thread says, fact, Carolyn Gumbel's mother has an audio recording of her daughter the night before she was killed saying, quote, if something happens to me, it was Donald. Next tweet says, fact, forensics at first tentatively matched the residual thumbprints found on Carolyn's neck as matching Trump's own small, in parentheses, hands. But that finding was later amended and officially ruled inconclusive. The next tweet reads, fact. In his 2009 autobiography, One Good Cop, Kerik referred to, quote, a certain well-known real estate magnate for whom he had, quote, made certain inconvenient facts disappear, page 243. Next one says, by the way, it's also interesting that Carolyn's New York roommate, Michelle White, committed suicide by jumping in front of a subway train not 2 weeks later. And then God, the tweet of God, wraps up this thread by writing for her parents, for her friends, for the country, for democracy, for truth, for the fiancé she was 2 weeks from marrying, but most of all for her. Hashtag Justice for Carolyn. Hashtag Justice for Carolyn is now trending on Twitter. It's all a lie. It's all bullshit. This is satire to prove a point. This thread has gotten 4,000 retweets, 26,000 likes, and a lot of comments on it. And if you read the comments below it, you see a lot of people backing up the story. This is how things can spread. This is what Donald Trump does all the time. He lies about everything. This is just giving him a taste of his own medicine. But look how easy it is to get hashtag Justice for Carolyn trending on Twitter. You will hear more of this. This story has not gone away. In fact, there's a big story right now on Raw Story. And the comments they have in response to this thread. Palmer Report writes, I don't care that Donald Trump didn't really murder Carolyn Gumbel. I don't care that Carolyn Gumbel doesn't even exist. I'm still demanding hashtag justice for Carolyn, because why the hell not? If Trump can demand investigations into imaginary murders, the rest of us can too. And obviously this stems from Donald Trump reigniting this old bullshit story about Joe Scarborough killing an old intern when he was a congressman back in 2001. Trump has repeatedly suggested without evidence that she was murdered. Her widowed husband, Timothy Clausutis, wrote a letter to Jack at Twitter saying, please take this down. And he's pleaded with Trump to stop pushing the baseless allegation, saying in a letter that, quote, Trump has taken the memory of my dead wife and perverted it for perceived political gain. Asked about the letter yesterday, Trump said, well, it's suspicious. We all deserve an answer to the questions. There is nothing that has to be, we need to get to the bottom of it. There's nothing to get to the bottom of. The case was closed years ago. Lori Clausutis died from an arrhythmia that caused her to pass out and hit her head on the table, where she was found a few hours later. Oh, really? Oh, great. Peter Griffin in the chat room said, Joe said far-left Bernie bros started the conspiracy this morning. Lovely. Well, that's Joe Scarborough, who is going to go back to being the asshole Republican he's always been once Trump's out of office. I'm just saying, people lie. They make shit up, and people believe the lies. I just know I can believe what I say. I can believe what my husband says, and most of the time, part of the time, I can believe what my daughter says. The rest of everyone else, we lie. As a people, we lie. We need to stop lying. All right, I'm done. Tomorrow, Howie Klein will get back to this then. Thank you for listening, everyone. Oh, I told you it wasn't going to be an easy one. All right. See you tomorrow. Bye.